Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Mike Lynch.
What's going on? This is Rashad.
This is the Sports Sunday Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. It is now brought to you on the Fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Weekend sports with a difference.
So I thought it'd be fun if we all went around and said our name and a little something about ourselves. I'll start.
A look at the weekend in sports with the inside story on the Blazers, the Ducks, and the Beavers. This is Sports Sunday with Mike Lynch.
At least I have my own bed. Your bed is a car. Yeah, but it's a sweet car.
And Rashad Taylor.
Will you stop your damn sniveling, son? Buck up, Bart. Buck up!
On ESPN Sports Radio 1080, The Fan.
Hey!
What up, though?
Hi, I'm back. A little sick, so don't mind the little allergy, I should say. It's not sickness.
Sound like Urkel a little bit.
But yeah, but
it's cute, though.
Don't mind the voice and the nose being stuffed up.
I'm sure wifey likes it.
I'm sure Rop will be picking up the bug, you know, tomorrow, since he likes to eat the microphone.
Oh, don't
Rob,
worry.
He tongue kisses the
Dude,
microphone.
All over that thing.
The
That's his girlfriend. You better watch out.
I'm just caressing the microphone right now.
I'll get you too.
This studio is just like a petri dish of diseases, I feel like, because Suk has been really sick. Suk has made Rop sick. Cam and Dusty have been sick. I have been sick. And it's like anybody who's been in here at some point this winter has gotten some sort of bug. Now, I haven't gotten the flu.
Damn it, man. Knock on wood, man.
I
don't need to get sick from anybody.
Well,
1080 cooties, man.
Now that you're thinking about it, it's going to happen. But no, seriously, though, it's this room is disgusting. Because if you think about it, each of these microphones is used by 5 to 6 people a week.
Yeah.
You got 3 people on a daily basis, our show on Sunday, the show before us on Saturday, and the Wednesday night show. All have people using
Nemec
both mics.
Nemec is in here on
Monday. And Nemec on Thursday, yeah. You're right. So another one, 7. And occasionally Swag does the Terry Porter show in here as well. So possibly 8. And they have Golf in the Northwest, so 9. 9 times, 9 shows.
9 times.
Number 9. Use this studio every week. Do you know how many times the studio gets cleaned? 0 times.
Well, yeah, like maybe a vacuum job gets done.
We got to talk to janitorial, though.
So, well, they come in and they take the trash, they don't really like... The problem is they come when we're always on the air, so they don't... They're always like, oh, sorry, and then they'll just leave the room. You're like, well, sorry that we're here when you're here, but I don't know. Cool. It's just... The studio is disgusting, and when they removed some of the stuff when TV left us, it felt cleaner, but I really don't feel like they cleaned anything. I just feel like it felt less cluttered, so I was like, oh, look at how clean the studio is, and now it's...
Yeah, you're never really in here, so you're kind of...
Well, I'm here twice a week, but I'm still here in this general area, and I can see that it looked cleaner, but no, it's not. You know, if you look at the actual microphone cover, the windshield, I guess is what it would be called technically.
Pretty gross.
It's disgusting. It is awful.
I'm just going to invest in new ones for everyone. New mic covers for everyone.
Yeah, but how long is that going to last before it gets diseased?
Doesn't matter.
1 month?
We got to get some new ones. Don't even care.
I am back, and it's snowing today. And
Damn it.
It is not sticking, luckily, but it is.
I don't care.
Hey. If it doesn't stick, then it's like it's just raining. And it just looks nicer than rain. So
man, screw the snow, man. I got stuff to do.
Well, it's not sticking. You can do it. Okay. The roads were fine.
This is depressing.
Why is it depressing?
Because it's Oregon, and I don't want to see the snow right now at all.
Because to me, the snow is less depressing than the rain because it's different. Because the rain is constant, and the snow is at least something we see. This is, what, the second time we've seen it this year?
I'm not as excited as you are.
I'm not excited either, but it's not like it's a depressing thing. It's just, as long as it's not sticking, it's fine. Because it's not screwing up what I want to do today.
Agree to disagree. I don't want to see this crap. I was angry when I got out of the car.
Keep an eye on the roads out there. If it does get slippery, be safe. But at least for my driving this morning, it seemed fine. And it's supposed to get warmer. So should be okay. Shouldn't have to worry too much about staying safe out there on the roads. So we are Sports Sunday now. This is my first Sports Sunday because I was out last week, which was the first Sports Sunday of the year. We do not need to talk about football the entire show. And frankly, I don't think I have any football in the show notes today.
I don't know if anything happened this week as far as football.
No, the only thing that came out that I thought was really interesting was the Kirk Cousins stuff. But we talked about that a couple weeks ago when the initial report came out that they were considering franchise tagging Kirk. And then Mike Florio had it this week because he said the Redskins are in the, quote, pettiness game, which I thought was really funny and really stupid. But so we kind of talked about that already. We had a whole two segments on it a couple of weeks ago. And so we don't have any football today at all. We got a lot of basketball, got a little Olympic talk.
All-star game today, baby. Woo! I'm excited to see what this game looks like. I mean, this is the first time ever it's not like East versus West, and you don't think the West is just going to run away with it. So, I mean, I'm excited to see because everybody's really saying, oh, Team LeBron is great. And I agree, but this is an NBA where you have to shoot threes, and Steph has the best three-point shooters in the league on his team.
All right, well, so, let's hold those hot takes because I do have that in the notes saying. Today. Let's not have all the hot takes out in the first segment here. but we will talk some All-Star game. We will talk – that's more what I want to talk about. My parents are in town. I didn't see the dunk or the three-point contest, so I can't really – I can't speak intelligently on it, so it's not like I'm not even going to try to pretend. But I do want to talk about the new format because we haven't talked about that. We know who the last picks were, and it's really freaking funny. I want to talk about Dame in the All-Star game. Plus, I want to spend some time today digging in on the Blazers because we really haven't spent over the last 6 months any time talking about the Blazers. And we both like watching the Blazers. We're both NBA fans, and we are at the All-Star break, which is the de facto middle point of the season, but we're 3/4 of the way through. And the Blazers are doing Blazery things. They're essentially the same team as they always are, but there's hope. And we'll talk about that this hour. Rashad does not like the Olympics.
The Winter Olympics. There we go.
The Winter Olympics.
There we go.
And on his Facebook page, he has been very passionate about this.
Just once.
Well, and in like the 100 comments that followed. You fire people up with this.
Hey, man, I can't help it if people don't know what they're talking about.
I can't help it if people have their own stupid opinions.
I was able to have a lot of really good, you know, back and forth conversation. I just want to have a conversation, you know. I don't want to argue. I'm not trying. I never tell anybody you're wrong or that's stupid. Never, ever. I never tell anybody that.
As he just said.
I'm just saying, no, because I wouldn't say that.
Wouldn't say that as he says it.
Yeah. What?
No. I would never do that.
So that's coming up on the show today. Also, we're going to bring West Coast Bias back. I want to talk a little bit about Pac-12 college hoops, which is really down in the dumps this year, and try to figure out why and where they could be going with the tournament this year. So that's coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. We also have Hater Love It, of course, at 10:30. And then maybe, I mean, I guess you want to talk about the Black Panther movie at some point?
Sure.
I know you love I haven't seen it yet, but you've gone twice. You loved it.
Yeah.
It's gotten incredible reviews on all the review sites. Rotten Tomatoes had it really highly rated from what I saw. And people are saying that it's one of the best superhero movies since the original Dark Knight in terms of like universally being liked by everybody, which is pretty cool. So we could talk about that as well. So that's all to come on the show. You can text us on the fan text line at 55305. That's where you can find us and interact with us throughout the entire show. You could also find us on Twitter at 1080 the fan, at Mike Lynch 27 is myself, at TaylorMade 503 is Rashad, and Jesse is at Jesse Osman, ASZMAN. But it is kind of one of those really kind of crappy weekends in sports in general, or really maybe not this weekend, but we're getting into the week of crap because NBA is going to be off until Friday or Thursday. So we're going to have 3 straight days of nothing.
Is it Thursday or Friday?
Well, the Blazers start Friday. I don't know when the teams come back. I haven't checked the full schedule. I can double check that for you. But it's going to be a couple of days. Yeah, it's Thursday. It's going to be a couple of days until the NBA comes back again. NHL, Winter Olympics, if I'm going to slightly tease what my opinion with Rashad on the Olympics is. It's one of those weird weeks in sports where there's really nothing happening. So
it's that post Super Bowl kind of hangover, and then the NBA decided to, you know what? Let's give them a real All-Star break and not have them come back.
Right, exactly. Let's give them 2 weeks off, essentially.
Yeah,
because the Blazers were off from Wednesday until this Friday, almost a week and a half off straight, which is probably perfect for any team that needs a break at the All-Star break, but still. So many days without watching games.
Yeah, I think there are a few dudes who can do with that, with a nice little 4 or 5 day break, A lot of teams that probably just need
It's deserving for them, but for fans who want to watch live sports.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's awful.
It's terrible. College basketball it is for, the next week.
Well, I mean, for most people, at least the Olympics are on, and they're on almost the entire day, so you at least get some sports you can watch.
It, never goes away. Seriously.
It does not. It's on right now.
All day.
I didn't turn it on, but it's on right now. I'm watching the FA Cup, and Tottenham's losing to Rochdale?
Oh, no.
Rochdale? Yeah, that's a much lower-level team. Okay. So this is surprising. Anyway, so we will start next with the All-Star break. Do you like the new format? We now know who the last players picked were and how much will Dame play. That's next here on Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
.914 here on your Sunday morning. Now it's sunny out, or it's bright at least, and it stops snowing. So, hot sports Sunday weather talk. NBA All-Star break is going on at the moment. We got the All-Star game today. Is that on The Fan, Jesse? Is the All-Star game on The Fan today? Do you know? Do you have any idea?
I will find out right now.
Okay. It's probably on The Fan, but I don't have it on top.
I should know, and if it is, I should have it in my update.
Well, we'll find out shortly for you, but that is today. It is the first year that we are getting, they've done it once before, right? Wasn't it like Team Magic versus, didn't they have 1 year where they did a picking format in the NBA? Or was that the NFL? Oh, that was the NFL.
Yeah, that was like Dion and
Michael Irvin. Okay, yeah, you're right.
I'm like that.
I'm mixing up the All-Star games. This is the first year in the NBA where you've got not East versus West.
And we do have it, by the way.
What time? 5, 6?
I'm assuming it's either if it's a. It says 4:30, so that's pregame, obviously.
Okay.
Right, so 4:30 pregame
is on The Fan for the All-Star break. So you got Team LeBron versus Team Steph, and it was a whole kind of thing when they picked their teams. It was cool to see what teams they picked. Sadly, it was not televised, so we just got an announcement on TNT on Inside the NBA about who was picked for what team, and. Very obviously, they wouldn't announce the order so that nobody's feelings got hurt. But I am actually more interested in this All-Star game than I have been in the past. Absolutely. Due to this format. Now, I don't dislike East versus West. And to be honest, I feel like in the NBA, the conference versus conference thing works better than in the other sports in the All-Star games. I'm not a big All-Star game guy. It doesn't matter, right? It's an exhibition game. So if it doesn't matter, I don't really care. But in terms of my interest level, the East versus West was always cooler in the NBA because, I feel like that's the conversation all the time is East versus West.
That's what it comes down to in the end. In the finals,
yeah. Right. But, in the NFL, it's not like NFC versus AFC. That's never, a generic conversation about the sport. It's usually about the teams or the quarterbacks. In Major League Baseball, American League versus National League is more about the DH and the pitcher hitting versus, oh, my God, the Cubs are playing the Astros, right? But in basketball, it's the Warriors play the Celtics in a regular season game, East versus West. Who's the best? It just becomes a part of the conversation. So I think that's why I like it the most in the NBA All-Star game. But the fact that two of the biggest brands in the NBA got to pick their teams of All-Stars is really fascinating to me. And I'm very curious because on paper, LeBron's team looks so much better.
Yeah.
But I'm very curious to see how it's going to work because, Kevin Durant is on LeBron's team and the other three Warriors are on Steph's team. So Durant's going to be going up against his own teammates in the All-Star game, which is really cool. That's a really cool little side twist of of what's going to happen, which would have never happened in the past with the East versus West. So I think that's a really cool idea.
No, I dug the idea. At first, I was kind of like, well, that's going to kill tradition, you know? And I was kind of like, oh, well, I like the East versus West. But the truth is, the West started just running away with it for the past few years. And Kobe even kind of made a little joke. Like, yeah, they got tired of getting their ass kicked, you know, every year, which, you know, I guess I would be too. But I'm excited to see what this looks like, man, because everybody kind of thinks that LeBron's team, like you said, on paper, LeBron's team looks unstoppable. You know, yes. with your starters are on Team LeBron, the starters are, well, it was Boogie, you know, who's no longer playing, but Anthony Davis, KD, Kyrie, LeBron, and who's starting for Boogie now?
I didn't see that, actually. I don't know if he's being replaced as a starter. He just might be, maybe one of the bench guys is coming up to start.
So, but you're looking at guys like, after those guys, then you have Kevin Love coming off the bench, who also won't play. Who else? Oladipo. You know, he has good Westbrook, John Wall, Paul George, who made three shots in the three-point contest last night. So his team is good and for his starters, but I'm looking at Steph's team and going, like, this NBA is about shooting, right? The three-point shot is everything.
And in an all-star game where zero defense will be played.
Zero defense will be played. You mean to tell me this team has Steph, great three-point shooter. James Harden, great three-point shooter. Draymond, relatively okay three-point shooter for, you know, as much as he shoots. Or, you know, Jimmy Butler is okay. Dame, phenomenal three-point shooter. Kyle Lowry, okay three-point shooter. Man, Klay Thompson, obviously, you know what I'm saying, three-point champion. Karl Anthony Towns, nobody knows it, but, you know, he leads his team for three-point percentage. Yeah, so, I mean, he's got a bunch of dudes on his team that can shoot the lights out. So, in an NBA where you're going to have a lot of layups from from Andre Drummond and from Kevin Love, who's not playing, and Victor Oladipo and LaMarcus Aldridge, but I'm looking at I think Steph's team's going to win, and I think they're going to win by a lot.
Do you think that more sports should do it this way in the All-Star game, but actually televise the picking thing? Like, just from an actual ratings and hype standpoint, holy crap, people would watch that.
Oh, yeah, they would definitely
watch. Like a playground draft of the best players in the world. That'd be awesome.
Exactly. This is the ultimate pickup game.
I'd love to see the – that's why it's like I was really frustrated when they said that it wasn't going to be televised because, I mean, are you really going to I know this sounds stupid now, but to me it's like, would you really have hurt feelings of being the last All-Star picked?
I think there's some dudes
You still made the All-Star team. Who cares if you're first or last? You're on the
All-Star. I think there are some dudes that would absolutely feel slighted. You saw when Russell Westbrook was talking after the selections were made initially, and he thought he was the last person picked because his name is Westbrook, so his last name on the list, and he was in his feelings about it. And then they found out that, oh, no, you weren't the last person picked. Your name is Westbrook. And he's like, oh, okay, now it's – I think there are a lot of dudes who would be really, really, you know, kind of butthurt about not being able to say that they were a top pick. You know, already they feel like they should have been starters. You know, I think there's a lot of these guys that every one of these people on the bench, their city loves them. And I guarantee they had a team of people voting for Jimmy Butler to make sure that he was an all-star starter this year. And it didn't come to. But all these dudes feel like they should be starters. Damian Lillard probably feels like he should start in the all-star game, as well as Karl Anthony Towns or Porzingis. And they would all be correct, you know, in their eyes, or at least in their fans' eyes, they would all be correct. Yeah, so
Porzingis got hurt too.
Yeah, Porzingis got which that's the one injury this year that really hurt my heart.
Tore his ACL.
That hurt my heart, man. Hopefully he gets better really soon because I think we were seeing something special from that kid.
The unicorn.
Yeah, man. But wait a minute. So did you know this is LaMarcus's sixth All-Star game?
Yeah.
Bro, so he's made the All-Star team, and I'm looking at it right now.
He made it all the time with the Blazers, right?
He's made the All-Star team more than Kyrie Irving. He's made it more than Reggie Miller ever made it.
Really?
Yeah, Reggie's only a five-time All-Star. He's made the All-Star team more than Chris Webber has made it. Hmm. He's made the All-Star team more than one of my favorite players of all time, Tom Chambers. You know, so there's a lot of dudes on this list that he's made it more than Steph.
But he's not a Hall of Famer. No.
I mean,
it's hard to tell with the NBA Hall of Fame. The Pro Basketball Hall of Fame
is weird.
I don't
know. Like, I mean, you look at LaMarcus's overall numbers and
That's the Hall of Famers for truly special people. And LaMarcus Aldridge has never been a truly special number one guy.
Is Jamal Wilkes truly special people?
No.
Mitch Richmond?
No.
Because those are dudes that made the NBA Hall of Fame.
That's the problem with the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. The only Hall of Fame I feel like that tries to keep it to the truly special is baseball's. The rest are just like,
I think football does a really good job of making sure the right guy kind of gets in.
I don't know.
You know.
Either way, that's a whole separate discussion. But speaking of last picks, though, and LaMarcus, he and Al Horford were reportedly the final two picks of the draft. Now, Al Horford is not really surprising to me. To me, he was
he's the worst all-star.
Worst all-star, quote-unquote.
There's no need to use the quote fingers. He's the worst one.
To see that LaMarcus Aldridge was the last pick for Team LeBron, I so badly wish that LeBron was like, for this pick, I'd like to pick LaMarcia.
Yeah, but
so badly want that to be true.
And the cold part is, like, LaMarcus is nowhere, as if you look at his numbers, he's nowhere near the worst player on LeBron's team. So his numbers are better than Gordon Dragic, who was an add-on. They're better than Paul George. They're better than Kevin Love's. They're a little bit better than Oladipo. He averages a few more points. They were better than Porzingis, who's having just a crazy year. So for as much as people want to bang on LaMarcus, man, he's still doing his thing right now. Man, dude's averaging 22-8 right now.
But it's his attitude. Nobody likes his attitude.
He's just a nonchalant, a passive-aggressive dude. I'm not tripping on that. Like, LaMarcus is very,
he's
very
really, vanilla. Really sensitive.
He is. But all these dudes are sensitive. Man, there's not, listen, basketball players are the most sensitive players of any sports. That's just, and everybody knows it. They're the most pampered. They have the most exposure, so yeah, they are the biggest divas of any sport. Baseball players are typically the coolest guys, you know, in any sport.
Or hockey players, maybe.
Hockey players are the toughest dudes.
Yeah.
Oh, of all sports, you know, football players are, you know,
they're kind of half
the
and
most.
Half.
Yeah, probably the most, I guess, you know, sought after, especially like if you're the quarterback or if you're like one of the main guys in the NFL, you're royalty in America. But basketball players are just, they're divas. It's just not, it's always been the case.
I think LaMarcus, though, is to an extreme as far as the sensitivity level.
I think it's also very personal here. Like, I do wonder, like, if there was another super sensey NBA player that played here. I can't think of one off the top of my head. But, I mean, hell, like, even, like the freaking Shaq. Right? Shaq is one of the most sensitive guys I've ever seen about his history.
Yeah.
His conversation, yeah, with Chuck on Inside the NBA, where like the second Chuck was like, oh, you should have stayed in one more title, Shaq went like, how dare you say that, Chuck? I won, I know what I'm
saying. So, yeah, Shaq's big thing with Chuck, because I really think I think Charles Barkley is really Shaq's biggest adversary. You know, I mean, really, I think David Robinson would probably be the one that I think, at least for me as a kid, that's the one I think of first. But I think about Charles Barkley picking Shaq up and slamming him and them trying to fight and stuff. They're like, there was some bad blood between them dudes when they played each other sometime.
And I couldn't see, like, LaMarcus sitting across from Shaq or Barkley or whatever, having them make a comment like that and him getting after Barkley. I'd see him being like, more like, oh, whatever, man. Because he really, like... He was very much a pushover personality in his interviews in everyone. Like,
I think for LaMarcus, he was never, and we talked about this before on the show. He was never slated to be the guy in Portland, ever. Like, it kind of happened by default for him. Like, when he got there, man, Brandon Roy was the savior for Portland. He was the all-star. He was the rookie of the year, man. He was the guy. LaMarcus was just the guy next to him. And then Greg Oden came. And then LaMarcus got pushed to that third seat. And then Go got hurt. And then B-Roy got hurt. And it was, well, LaMarcus, you got to do a lot of the scoring for us. And then he became a star. It was like he's been overlooked all the time. It wasn't until like his last 2 years in Portland and people finally said, huh, LaMarcus might be the best power forward in the league. And a lot of us here were like, well, yeah, like he finally turned into that. But and then he got traded to San Antonio and he took a step behind Kawhi Leonard again. Now you're not the guy, but you still produce. Like, I understand why Portland fans are mad, but man, I can't ever fault nobody for going to get another job, especially when it gives me an opportunity to be great at what I do.
Oh, yeah, I don't.
Oh, yeah, that's why.
Dude,
and I think
I don't
that's
care
why,
that he went to go play with the Spurs.
Like, we still see a lot of people that text in, like, oh, always take a little pride when the Marcus loses. Why? That's called hate, bro. Like, let that go.
Well, it's okay to hate a little bit.
I don't see. I think when you're 15, yes.
In sports, if it's a player on your team that you think did you wrong, whether it was leaving or if it was something that you just didn't like how he acted on the team, which that's more how it was for me. I just didn't. Mm-hmm. That last year, there was that weird tension between him and Dame, and he didn't want Dame to have the spotlight, and that was fine, but he also tried to stop it from happening. I just kind of got a bad taste in my mouth about it.
It was petty, but it was.
I hate pettiness.
Yeah, man, that's why I'm not a big fan of the Washington, you know, football franchise. But yeah.
It's just like, so that bothered me. So that's why I still like to put a little hate on LaMarcus every now and then.
I'm not that kind of person normally, but it's like. Of course. And I totally get why, you know, people would feel that way. And LaMarcus said he was, you know, he's lying, man. I'm going to be the best Blazer ever. And that's still debatable if he is or not, you know. He ought to want to be the best Blazer ever. And then he left. So if he'd have just said, man, I'm not talking about free agency, we'll talk about it in the summer, cool. Leave it at that. But don't gas people up with all the extras.
Yeah, that's enough LaMarcus Aldridge love, okay?
Yeah. I'm just saying, man, like, go get your money, young man.
We need to get this text on the fan text line, 55305. If you offer me three of those four guys for playoff games, Reggie Miller, C-Webb, Chambers, or L.A., I take the first three.
Oh, man, L.A.'s numbers are really good in the playoffs, man. Like, he's no punk.
I'd love to have Reggie Miller and Chris Webber in the playoffs, though, and Tom Chambers.
I'll take Tom Chambers. Man, name me one great C-Webb moment that wasn't the series that he lost in five or six to the Lakers in the playoffs. There isn't very few.
There isn't any, really.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'll take Reggie, yeah. But, you know, that's all I'm saying.
Smooth shooting Reggie Miller. Wonder how many threes he'd hit in this era of the NBA.
There's an Uncle Drew movie coming out.
Yeah, I saw that.
And Reggie Miller is one of the guys in it, as well as Chris Webber. So it's like the five-time All-Star game, because Kyrie Irving is also a five-time All-Star. So you had to be at least an All-Star five times to be in that movie.
All right. Got a break. Coming up next, let's dive into the actual Blazers at this point in the season. They are currently the sixth seed in the Western Conference. They got a huge win against the Warriors to wrap up their first half or their pre-All-Star break part of the season. But are they getting better, or are we just in the cycle of death for the Blazers? That's next. First, Jesse at SportsCenter.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
9:36 here on Sports Sunday. Almost said Football Sunday. That would have been wrong.
Oh, man. I mean, it's the first one back, so that's not. That wouldn't
be. It's going to take a while for me to retrain my brain. Because, look, it took me like 2 months to train my brain to say, I just did it again. Say Football Sunday,
yeah, it takes
not week. Sports Sunday.
Especially when we're so used to doing it, you know, every week. You know, it's just for like, what, 20 weeks or something like that?
August through February.
Yeah.
So.
It's a long time.
August, September, October. Six, seven months.
Yeah.
It's a pretty long time.
Yeah.
I was going to say something, but I forgot what it was. Okay, Blazers. I did have another something I wanted to bring up, but I'll think about it for the next segment or something. Blazers are currently in the sixth seed in the Western Conference. They don't play again until Friday against the Jazz. They actually play back-to-back Friday, Saturday against the Jazz and the Suns. But they're the sixth seed right now, or actually the seventh seed right now, as they are tied with the Nuggets.
Tied with the Nuggets.
Nuggets won their last game on Thursday, I guess. But tied with the Nuggets at the seventh seed. They are only 2.5 games back from the 3 seed and only one game ahead of being out of the playoffs. That is how tight the West is, from the Spurs down through the Jazz, who are in the 10 seed. There is a 4.5 game difference from 3 to 10. That is absolutely insane. So in one way, it depends how you want to look at it, glass half full or glass half empty. Blazers are only 2.5 games away from the 3 seed, or Blazers are in a giant group of teams that could all miss the playoffs at the drop of a hat, depending on how they play in the last 20 games of the season. I don't really know how I feel about it, because the Blazers got the great win against the Warriors, right? Granted, the Warriors looked like they were sleepwalking through the first half of that game. And we're ready for the All-Star break. It was a good win. They've played generally better over the last little bit. But they also keep having these stretches where against bad teams or iffy teams, they're losing. I'm looking at you. The Pistons lost, even though Blake Griffin was there. They got destroyed by 20 points in that one. Looking at you, that 20-point loss to the Jazz. They're throwing 20-point losses in with, like, really good wins against the Warriors and the T-Wolves a couple of, like, 3 weeks ago when they beat Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Some really good wins. And we've talked about this throughout the week, over the last couple of weeks, too. But the Blazers, it feels like they're just in loop. They're in a cycle, right? Hey, here's a really, really, really good win that's going to get you really hyped up and say that we're turning the corner. And then we're going to start going around the loop. And as we get to the downward end, oh, look, we're going to lose to Chicago. Just random team here.
Insert week
two. Right. Oh, and then we're going to have a really good game against Boston, but lose on the game-winning shot by Al Horford. Oh, and then we're going to beat Minnesota, but then we're going to lose to Utah. Then we're going to beat Golden State. It's this loop that the Blazers are in where they're good enough to be a playoff team, but yet it doesn't feel like they're good enough or playing well enough, at least, to break through the wall and feel like a legit team in the West. Now, I do want to say this. There's only two legit teams in the West right now. There's only two.
Three.
I'm not counting the Spurs because they're not playing Super Bowl.
I'm talking about Minnesota.
Well, they got the same record as the Spurs, so they're on the same boat. But I'd rather the Blazers be more like the Spurs or Minnesota than the Nuggets and the Pelicans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd rather they be playing to a level where every night you can consistently say, oh, yeah, they got a chance to win this game, because I don't feel that way about the Blazers right now.
Well,
and that's part of the loop problem is, and it's just kind of a crapshoot.
So I'm looking at the Western Conference, and, you know, every team has an identity for the most part. The Rockets are, they're going to be the Warriors, basically. We're going to spread the ball out on the perimeter. We're going to shoot a lot of threes. We got 2-point guards that are going to get a lot of assists, and so they're going to beat you inside, outside. You know, that's the Rockets' way. The Warriors, man, we got superstars. We got numbers. We're just going to put them all around the perimeter, let them shoot, and then they got to choose up, and then KD's just going to go crazy. That's the game plan every week. San Antonio, we're going to play together. We're going to play defense. We're going to hold these teams to 90 points, 94 points a night.
San Antonio, one of only two teams in the NBA to hold opponents under 100 points per game.
So
averaging 98.5 points against. The only other team under 100 is the Celtics at 99.6.
We're going to play great defense, and we're going to beat you up inside. You know, that's our game plan. Minnesota, man, we're going to play phenomenal defense. Again, I'm going to beat you on the perimeter, then we're going to beat you up inside. Blazers, what's the game plan? CJ, you shoot as much as you can. Dame, you shoot as much as you can. Nurkic, you figure out how to fit in somewhere down there. Like, I'm looking at them.
It is awkward, Jeff.
All these teams have a game plan and what they want to do, and I feel like the Blazers just kind of don't know who they are or what they kind of want to be. Like, Houston Rockets play everybody. The reason they're so good in the Golden State, they play everybody the same way every night. I don't play down to my competition because, man, oh, they only got 24 wins this year or 18 wins. No, I'm going to play Phoenix the same way that you play Boston, and that's why they get the results they get. Like, the Blazers, I think they come into this game going, Utah, no problem. We just beat up on Minnesota last night or two nights ago. We're going to handle Utah. And then, oh, no.
National TV against the Warriors. Let's go, let's go, yeah, let's go.
Let's do it.
Remember Alan Crabb said that when he was still here? He said that everybody always gets up for the national TV games. That felt almost like a random drop in the hat comment, but when I heard it, I went, so you're admitting that you don't
really
play
care.
The same?
Yeah.
I mean, and I guess that's a natural reaction, but I don't know. I didn't like the way it came off. And I think the Blazers do have an identity. I think the problem is that they don't have the players that could fulfill that identity consistently. Because to me, their identity is, obviously, Dame and CJ are the workhorses, but Nurkic needs to be the pick and roll guy, come up and set nice picks, and allow both CJ and Dame to decide whether or not they're going to feed him or drive or shoot or whatever. And if that doesn't work, the plan normally would be, I mean, it's a just typical basketball plan, but mm-hmm. get out to the open shooters, to the guys standing around the arc, get a shot to them. The problem is, A, Nurkic has the worst touch around the basket I've seen for a skilled big man. He doesn't do layups. He just does little lob floaters.
What happened
half the time
to Nurk dunking? Anybody remember that?
Well,
remember
he's tried. I don't know if you noticed lately, he's going for more dunks. Someone on the coaching staff was like, Yusuf, you got to dunk the ball.
When he first came here last year, at the end of last year, and it could have just been because he was so energized to leave Denver and to get to a spot to where he was playing. Like, didn't we call him the Bosnian beast?
Yep.
Where's that beast? Where's
that beast
that guy?
Has turned into the Bosnian floater lover because he loves to throw up little floaters.
Because he's tired of getting hit in the face.
Hello.
That's that thing. He's tired of getting elbowed and hit in the face. But I'm like, man, when you're that big, bro, you're gonna be fouled a lot.
Yeah.
And I just don't know, like I said, man, Golden State, Houston, Toronto, you know, these teams play each other the same way every single night. We're going to attack, attack, attack. The Blazers, like, again, they're like, oh, okay, we're going to be up for Minnesota. We're going to be up for San Antonio. Denver, we'll see.
But the other thing, too, is so Nurkic is super inconsistent. So his role in the offense is good, and it works if he's playing well. And when he plays well, we've seen him win.
Yes.
But when he's missing bunnies, they suck. And the other problem is the rest of their game plan is find the open shooter. They used to have those in Terry Stotts' offense. Now they have Mo Harkless and Al-Farouq Aminu. Now, granted, Aminu's been actually hitting a lot of threes this year, but generally he's not a threat from the line, beyond the line. Evan Turner can't hit a three to save his life. So the offensive game plan is smart, but they don't have the players to execute that offensive game plan.
Yeah, I think that's the big issue. And somebody just texted in game plan, Aminu at the four. I was like, oh, sorry, we tried that. And like, yeah, no. Yeah, Aminu, I mean, I'm sure he is an awesome guy, you know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure he is, but just it hadn't worked, you know. Just him in the on the roster, just, I mean, just hasn't worked. You have a lot of guys, it just, man, it just didn't work. And then my issue is like, well, blow it up to do what? Like, to start where? Like, you're too good to have like a lottery pick right now, but you're not so good to where you're gonna go deep into the playoffs. So you're the definition of a middle of the road team. Just there's no, you know, the pendulum is right there in the middle. No up, no down, just right there in the middle. That's where you are.
Well, you don't have anybody out there that's a little intense, right? Like, you don't have somebody out there like that's going to be basically with that mentality of I'm going to eat your babies. Like, you know, I'm just kind of thinking of Derek Wolfe, our defensive end on the Denver Broncos, literally has said that to, you know, the opposing like team player. I will eat your babies. Like, he's pretty intense, but if you listen to, he's not like a horrible person. He's just on the field. He wants to win more than anything. That's what you need out of, you know, the Bosnian beast. You need him every day coming and being like, I am going to take this area around the basket. It is going to be mine. You're not going to score in it, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to dominate the offensive rebounds and putbacks.
I fear he's going to become Rudy Fernandez. Just too good looking, just too, you know what I'm saying, too in the mix for his own good.
Well, Nurkic, too, he is sort of like that, but the second anything goes against him, that all vanishes, and he becomes whiny and pouty, which was what we were warned about when he came from Denver was, he didn't get his way. Nikola Jokic took his spot, and all he did was pout. Now, he's starting every day, Nurkic is, so that's positive. But in terms of that mindset, but if he misses a couple of shots, the Bosnia beast goes away.
Yeah,
because he's now upset.
That's where you need, like, see, and that's where, once again, you need a guy who's in there, and it's like, scoring's cool. We want you to score, but it's all those other things that he can do that really truly elevate the team. Like, when you own the paint, all right, when he's in there owning the paint, when he's getting those offensive rebounds, when he becomes a threat in all those other aspects, the points come. But it's having that person that wants to do that day in, day out, that's willing to go to the floor and actually feeds off of that physical play. And that doesn't go, oh man, I got hit in the face, and then backs off. He goes, oh, you're going to hit me in the face, bring it on. That's more of what you want down there in the paint, because that just, he's going to feed off of that type of energy. And I mean, I kind of feel like Dame's kind of like that, but I don't think that kind of play is what you want from your point guard.
Well, or from your superstar. Yeah, he does. I would say Dame is that kind of player. He's got that mentality, but he's got to focus on so many things
exactly
in each game that he can't pay attention to that soul thing going on. Anyway, this guy says, yeah, you can't tank now. Right, you can't.
It's a wrap. Yeah,
last year was the year to tank because you were four games away from the worst record in the West, and they kind of tried, right? The Nurkic trade seemed like a tank move, right? Except Nurkic wound up playing out of his mind for those 20 games, and they won a lot. So, I mean, it kind of felt like they were going in that direction, because imagine if they actually did, and, like, Jason Tatum is now on the Blazers or something as their three. Like, that would be wonderful, right? And I don't want to talk about the whole, like, Donovan Mitchell, because he's been awesome because they picked Zach Collins ahead of him thing. Collins actually looks pretty good in the short time he's had. He's got a really stable defensive base. He's a great defender. I think he could be really good. So I'm like, yeah, it was a little bit more of a future pick, but we'll see what happens with that. But if they – but that Texas – you can't tank now.
No, it's a wrap.
Right? It's too late to tank.
Yeah.
You've got a potential big three. You've got a decision to make on Nurkic this offseason. And to be honest, I'd probably re-sign him because he's not going to get a max offer this year from somebody. So if somebody offers him a deal, you could probably match it for somewhat cheap. Because he's still only 23 years old.
I think they will. And I think people see what you can get from Nurkic. I think there are a lot of people out there that feel that Terry Stotts is not the best game manager. And I think with maybe a great coach that Yusuf Nurkic has, we see he has the skill to be great. So.
All right. I disagree with that 100%. And I want to talk about it next because we got a break and we're late. So.
Yeah, super late.
That's next on The Fan.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
All right, last segment of the first hour here on Sports.
Sports Sunday. Good job.
Sports Sunday.
There it is.
Sports.
Is this game over in a 2-2 tie?
No, they have to play again.
I was about to say,
it's over, but they have a replay.
I was about to throw my chapstick at the TV if that was.
Because this is like a tournament. And I didn't even see that they scored again. That's crazy. This is a really big upset that Tottenham didn't win this game. So it's actually kind of a big deal. Anyway, you said that Terry Stotts might be the problem, essentially, right? At the end of the last segment, that's what you inferred.
Yeah, kind of. Low-key. And
look, here's the thing. I am very passionate about this, is that Terry Stotts is as far from the problem as is anything in this team to me. The problem is the actual team's creation doesn't make a lick of sense. I have been one of the more pro Neil Olshey guys on this station since he got here. I loved what he did his first few years, right? I was raving. I loved the draft picks. I loved the second round picks. I loved the trades. Neil Olshey destroyed this team with the 2016 offseason when he got Evan Turner for $70 million and he signed Colin Kraft for $70 million. Granted, he got that off the books now. And when he re-signed Harkless and Myers Leonard for $40 million and $40 million, for $80 million combined. He destroyed this team for one simple reason, is that none of those players fit a Terry Stotts system, right? Terry Stotts came from Rick Carlisle, the Dallas Mavericks, who was an assistant coach on that title-winning team. And if you remember, when the Blazers had the best team that they've had in the last little bit in terms of players, with Dame and Wes and Nick Batum and LaMarcus Aldridge and Robin Lopez, that fit the Terry Stotts offense. You had a banger inside who could easily put a layup back in or put up back in. He set really solid screens and he was solid on the pick and roll. He didn't shoot at all, but whatever. You don't need your big guy to shoot. You had two really good 3-point shooters on the wings in Wes Matthews and in Nick Batum. Although maybe inconsistent for Nick Batum, but generally good 3-point shooters. And you had a four in LaMarcus Aldridge, who was a really, really good shooter. Granted, he didn't like to play inside, but could shoot the ball as well. Terry Stotts' system was predicated on pick and roll offense that led to either easy buckets on the inside or kick out threes, plus a little isolation for Dame. And I guess eventually CJ when he turned into a more elite style player. Currently, Terry Stotts cannot do his offense with this team, right? And he knows that. He knows he can't do it super effectively, so he's tweaking it. When Evan Turner's on the floor, he goes post up on Evan Turner on the guards on the inside, right? Mm-hmm. When Mo Harkless is on the floor, he leaves Mo basically solely for cuts and corner threes because that's all he does well. Al-Farouq Aminu is actually hitting threes this year, so he's kind of working in the Terry Stotts offense. But this is not a Terry Stotts problem to me. And if you listen to Damian Lillard, he would leave if Terry Stotts left, right? He's like, if Stotts is leaving, I'm leaving. That's what he said. And I'm down to trust Damian Lillard in his opinion on his head coach. Now, I know he's been his only head coach, but it's a guy that you learn to grow to respect that guy. But I trust Dame's opinion on that. Mm-hmm. And if Neil Olshey had not brought in the players that he had in that offseason, I don't think there'd be any question about Terry Stotts as a head coach because the offense wouldn't look so disjointed. Because right now he's doing his best with the pieces he has available to him, which doesn't fit his usual offensive game plan. Now, Jesse in the break said he doesn't like to coach defense. Well, yes, you could argue that. He coaches a very simplistic defensive style. Now, let's give the Blazers some credit. This year, defensively, they're a top 15 defense, right? Mm-hmm. They're actually playing better defense than we've seen them play in multiple seasons. So I got to give Terry Stotts some credit to getting that to happen as well. Took some time for their offense to catch back up, but because that's what started off being really bad this year was their offense. But I don't think this is anything to do with Terry Stotts at all. And that's why I'm saying you don't – this isn't like the, oh, if they keep doing this and Terry Stotts is gone thing. I don't think that's the right way to go about it. I think the roster needs to change significantly.
Okay, so how long is too long? That's my thing with Terry Stotts. This is his, seventh year? 6 years as the Blazer head coach? You know, he's the fourth longest tenure coach in the NBA right now?
Right, that's a huge problem.
And
it's a terrible thing that's happening.
As a career winning percentage for as the Blazers head coach, he's 20th. When I talked about a middle-of-the-road team, Terry Stotts is a middle-of-the-road coach, low-key. Like, that's just unfortunate. Like, he had that great year because you had a great team. That Blazer team is going to go down as one of the really good Blazer teams of all time. They'll probably be on 2K at some point because that team was really good with Dame and LaMarcus. Whoa. And they were that was a really good team.
I don't think they're going to be on 2K, though.
if you would have kept that team, that's why everybody was so bummed when it went down and everybody left because they knew that, man, if there was a window, man, that was it. This was the team that probably could have did something. Now, you think about that team being together today. You mean to tell me they wouldn't have competed for the Western Conference title right now?
No.
You don't think so?
Nope.
I think they would at least be in the conversation.
I think they're the Timberwolves. I think they're better, but they're the Timberwolves.
They would have been in the conversation, and they were right there. They were already in the second round of a playoff. They just didn't know how to play together and win at that point. But Terry Stotts is a good coach. He's not a bad coach, but at the same time, like in 6 years – You've done very, very little to make sure your team can even get out of the second round, or even more than that, win a game in the second round. Like that's what you're looking at right now. So, I'm just we talk a lot about his. Oh man, what is he doing with his rotations? And how come this guy doesn't play more? And if we went for a long time without seeing Mo Harkless,
right? Because he was playing like absolute garbage.
Because there was no consistency anywhere.
Like, because no.
There was no consistency anywhere.
There was no consistency because nothing was working. Because everything he tried failed. Guess what he found? He found some lineups that actually are playing decently right now. Right? I know I'm talking about they're in the loop, but generally, the lineups he's found have actually played fairly well together. Right? He was bumping around with all these people because everybody was playing like crap in the beginning of the season, especially offensively. I just think it's so irresponsible for NBA teams to fire coaches as quickly as they do. There's only like three or four great coaches in the NBA, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's about it, right? And I don't even know if I put Steve Kerr in that conversation because his team is so freaking good. But Popovich, maybe Brad Stevens. Hell, who else? Who else would you put as a great head coach?
Tyronn Lue.
Nope. Wouldn't put him there.
No, I like the job.
Maybe D'Antoni, I guess you could say.
D'Antoni.
Sure.
I'm not – I have to look.
Luke that's Walton. Kind of it, right?
Luke Walton.
Maybe Steve Kerr. Don't give
Steve
me Luke
Kerr.
Walton.
Yeah, Steve Kerr,
so,
for sure.
Like, I know people like to argue that because his team is so good, but I think Steve Kerr is a
phenomenal coach.
Beyond that, everybody else is at a different level down. And I do think that Terry Stotts is in that next level with the Thibodeaux and the Van Gundys and the guy, I can't remember the coach's name on the Raptors. He's a good head coach.
Dwayne Casey,
that's right. He's a good head coach too. I think Terry Stotts is in that level because think about what he's been able to do with the team that really isn't that good. If you really look on paper, this team isn't that good.
And I would agree with you. Like we say, we fire coaches soon. Yes, totally agree. But it's been 6 years now. 7 years. Like at this
point,
what
has he done but make the playoffs almost every year?
You've made the playoffs almost good, but you've been, it's hasn't been like in a high seed. You know, you haven't, you've been barely making the playoffs. There's been talk of your team's tanking at this point in the season. We've had that tank conversation for the past two seasons up until today.
But I don't blame Stotts for that.
Exactly.
I blame Olshay for that.
I mean, you have to blame Olshay for that, but Stotts has to coach these dudes. And like you said, he kept going through rotation after rotation trying to figure out what works. If you're looking for some consistency, it's got to come from your coach. And that's, you haven't gotten that at any point. We still don't know what the Blazers are or who they are as a franchise.
This conversation is no different than any other small market, though. Like, I mean, you're just looking at, you're just another small market team stuck in purgatory of making the playoffs, maybe getting to the second round and getting kicked out because you don't quite have enough talent, but because you made the playoffs, you don't have quite enough, like, you don't have enough assets to go into the draft and get somebody new. You can't attract free agents. You just end up in purgatory. Like,
to me, the difference between Stotts and other coaches in that sense, because I think you're right, is look at the Grizzlies right now, right? The Grizzlies had a team, that was a very good team that had a great defensive mindset, that made the playoffs regularly, but never, ever really made it super far into the playoffs except for that 1 year. Then they switched their coach. Now where are they? 18-38. They're bad.
They're bad.
Yep.
That's the difference. Terry Stotts kept this team, which I really truly don't think is that good of a roster, currently in the middle of the Western Conference playoff conversation. Right?
Albeit a kind of crowded and, you know, middle of the road playoff. Yes, but yes.
But for
right.
2 years now, they have been in the middle of the conversation, and they've fluctuated, of course, up and down, but last 3 years, I could even say, they've been there. So I want to give Terry Stotts that credit, and I don't want to blame him for this because it's not him. He's done the most he can possibly do with the roster that has been given to him.
I mean, we get a lot of people saying fire Olshay, and I totally agree. Like, I'm not a Neil Olshay fan. You know, I no longer trust in Olshay. But please believe, you get a new GM, you're going to get a new head coach, too. That's almost always the case.
I don't know about that. Because, again, Damian Lillard's going to go to bat for Stotts, and whoever the new GM better listen to Dame, or else, guess what, Dame's going to walk in 4 years or whatever it is. So Let's not pretend like that's not going to be a thing that people got to worry about too. I think this question is key from Zach in Portland. So we replace Stotts with who? Who makes this team better? I don't know.
No idea.
That's the problem.
I have no idea.
If you replace Stotts, you're going into a huge wave of average NBA coaches who might work out or might not. But you're not getting Steve Kerr level talent.
Yeah, but we can always think that there are just no head coaches out there because they're not on this level. Like nobody thought Brad Stevens would work in the NBA. No one thought that would happen. And
what?
He's one of the better.
I thought Brad Stevens was working in the NBA. He was a great head coach.
Man, he
made a tiny
college,
school who
Butler,
was bad.
Straight from Butler. There are, I remember a lot of people hating contention on Brad Stevens and being from the small school and all that other stuff coming to the NBA. I remember there was a lot of hate on this young kid, and then he ended up being great.
Okay, wow. We were super over. Let's break. Hour two coming up next. Okay, bye. Thanks, bye.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.